In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Steph, and welcome to Women of Worth. If this is your first time joining us, you're in the right place, because as Women of Worth, our mission is to teach and encourage and empower one another to be the virtuous women that God has called us to be. By providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where you can learn and grow. And we hope that your life will be enriched by this program, because our goal at My Church Virtual Ministries is to offer an array of faith-based programming that ministers to the entire body of Christ, such as the Leadership Academy, the Man Cave, Women of Worth, Marriage Seer Training, Medicine for the Mind, The Heart of the Pastor, Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, and The Enjoyable Life with Pastors Russell and Vita Cash. And we also have Revival TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. So, you know, if you can just, you know, find the My Church channel on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google TV, LG TV, or simply download the My Church on the Go app or play from your favorite mobile device from the Apple or Google Play Store. So I encourage you to share this broadcast with everyone you know. Now, with all of that being said, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are. Lord God, we thank you for this time where we will spend time in your presence, oh God. Lord, I just pray that you just have your way. Holy Spirit, you know what to do, and you do it best every single time. Lord, I pray for every woman that is tuned into this broadcast. Lord God, I even speak right now that there are small groups of women that have just fell upon this channel. And Lord God, see that there's a women's ministry, and they start sharing these things and join these things with one another. Lord, I give you praise for all that you do. I thank you, Lord God, for Pastor Tucker and his wisdom and knowledge in designing the My Church channel. And Lord, I thank you right now for all the things, every single thing you're going to do tonight. And Lord, we give it all back unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Woo. Prayer, so good. So, needless to say, we're getting close, y'all, to a change of the season. Yes, but rats. And I say that because here comes the pollen, right? But, you know, we're getting ready to switch from winter into spring. And I always get excited around this time of the year because, again, the trees are beautiful. The blossoms are beautiful. Everything is starting to turn that green, early, rich green color. And it's beautiful. But then you look at your car and it looks like somebody painted yellow on your vehicle from pollen. But regardless, you know, we have to learn how to survive in each season, right? Now, if you're like me, I have seasonal allergies. So excuse me if I'm sniffing or sneezing right now. I took some medicine and hopefully it works. But to say all that, we all have seasonal changes. And it doesn't have to be just the weather. Seasonal changes, as far as like, you know, new parents having a newborn, that's a season. Another season is when you send your little child off to kindergarten. That's a season. Middle school, a season. There's a season of like high school graduations and empty nests and all of that. Then there's seasons for spouses. You know, of course, the season after they get married. And then later on, when all the kids are out of the house and maybe you're taking care of your elderly parents. My goodness, that's a season too. And a lot of times we don't anticipate the seasons, you know, because you know how we are. Come on, ladies. If you plan everything to a T, you expect everything to go according to plan. But see, that doesn't happen. And you have to learn how to adjust, right? So navigating a season where you feel called to change while those around you remain stagnant can be deeply isolating. Why? You know, when you have people around you that aren't willing to change, but you're changing constantly, it is isolating. You may feel like you're on this lonely island all by yourself, right? But change is needed because the last thing you want to do is become stagnant. So this moment often feels like a tension between your personal Macedonian call to move forward and your commitment to the community or family. So right now, ladies, I sensed in my spirit that many of you are getting ready to go through a pivotal change. That means things that you had planned to do or that you thought you were going to do, it changed. Why? Because God controls the season. So, you know, you may be currently in that moment where even your family are expecting you to be one way, but you decide that you're going to change and be something that you desire God for you to be, God's desire for you to be, and for how you feel about yourself. So again, ladies, you're currently in a pivotal change. Now, you know, the Macedonian call, of course, you know, Apostle Paul, he was on it, man. He was, you know, building churches and he started the Acts church and people were being added daily, right? So you think about all the success they had. So they decided, okay, well, let's continue. We're going to continue to disciple and expand the ministry. So look at Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to read from the Message translation, and I'm going to start at verse 6. It says, they went to Phrygia and then through the region of Galatia. Their plan was to turn west into Asia province, but the Holy Spirit blocked that route. So they went to Mysia and tried to go north to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go there either. Proceeding on through Mysia, they went down to the seaports of Troas. That night, Paul, he had a dream. Boy, how many people do we know have dreams? I know I do. Lord knows I do. And a lot of times they come to fruition. So, you know, that night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far side of the shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. The dream gave Paul his map. So it says, we went to work at once. So immediately they went to work, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. We knew now for sure that God has called us to preach the good news of the European, to the Europeans. Okay? So again, you know, it says they, we, right? And after a while, you know, your mind gets so flip-flop based upon so many changes that are going on. And there are times, y'all, when you're having change, and it may be a good one, that you have to really look at your motive. You know, what is your motive? What is the thing that God is telling you to change, and what steps, proactive steps, you need to take? And it's really challenging, again, when you have your mind set up, but there are people that don't support you. But if you have your mind set in place, and it's set in place in Jesus, in the Lord, you will have the direction that you need. So, of course, you know, it says Paul had a dream. And basically the dream gave Paul his map. I mean, come on now. It was a Macedonian person standing far off the shore across the sea. So they were going to what? Macedonia. And at the end, it says all the pieces had come together. Man, how many of you are scattered or been scattered, or you try to do things in your own strength, and because you're so scattered, you end up tripping yourself up and making things more difficult for yourself when all you have to do is make a simple choice to change? So God put all the pieces together for them. And because they did that, it says, we knew now for sure. You notice that? So when it said we went in the beginning, but we knew now for sure that God has called us to preach the good news to the Europeans. I was going to say Europeans. Anyway, but it says, we knew now for sure, for sure. God, you know, when we make changes in our life, don't we want to have a for sure answer? Come on now. I mean, really, I want something that's for sure. But where's the for sure coming from? Is it coming from your idea of what for sure is? Or you are trusting and leaning into God's word to help fortify the for sure. Amen. So here are some proactive steps a woman can take to navigate this transition with grace and purpose. My God, when you doubt around a bunch of people who aren't supportive, who don't even like the fact that you're deciding to make a change in your life, you don't want to go around and act with an attitude, or, you know, let them know they're wrong at every turn, or even feel defeated by these individuals that what are putting up blocks, not allowing you to be for sure and to go ahead. So it's always important, ladies, to do things in grace and with purpose. That's what makes us beautiful, our grace. I just want to tell you that. So, first, seek internal alignment. Internal alignment. So, before looking to external stuff, you got to ensure your desire for change is rooted in prayer and scripture. When others don't support the shift, your internal why must be unshakable. Okay. You know, I have two daughters. I'm in a season now where they are young women, and they are going through things that are causing them to say, do I change or not? Do I make this change, and how will it affect me, and what do I need to do? And sometimes they come and they call and ask for my advice. Sometimes they're a little anxious or worried that either it's not going to happen or they're going to get stuck in a certain scenario. So I shared with them how I used the Word of God and how I was rooted in prayer every time I made a life-changing event. Now I'm just going to talk about my career. You know, when I was unhappy at one place, I was like, Lord, I got to get out of here. And instead of focusing on like the why, I was looking at the external why, because there were a bunch of fools I worked with. Come on now. Right. And, you know, as soon as something happened, you're like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Well, it may not be time. It might not be the season. And you cannot make choices prematurely. Because if you do that, that's either going to cause a major setback or it's going to totally defeat your purpose. So you really have to look at the why. So when others don't even support the shift, your internal why must be unshakable. Mm-hmm. Yep. So identify the source. You got to distinguish between a restless itch or a holy discontent. Wow, man. A restless itch, that just come up from nowhere. And it's one of them itches, Lord God, that's in the center of your back. Your hand won't reach no matter how much you stretch, but it's this itch that's always there. And all you want to do is try to make changes and adjustments to get that scratch. But guess what? As soon as you scratch, there'll be another itch at another part of your back. So you got to distinguish between a restless itch and holy discontent. My God. You know, discontent means you're not content, of course. But when you become discontented in holiness, it makes you want to make the adjustments and changes from things that are not holy. Okay? So, you know, if you're around family members, they still, you know, cuss and drink or gossip. And you made up in your mind early that morning that you decided to make Jesus your choice. And you were going to make the necessary changes toward holiness. But then you're around your family and all of a sudden you're discontent. And you're discontent because it's a holy discontentment, meaning it's time for you to change. So you got to distinguish between the two. And if the desire for change aligns with the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, what can go wrong with that, right? So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 22, and I'm going to read from the Easy Transition. And it says, But God's Spirit causes us to live in a different way. We love other people. We are happy. And we have peace in our minds. We are patient, kind, and good. And people can trust us to do what is right. We respect other people, and we control ourselves properly. God's Spirit helps us to live that way. There is no law that says these things are wrong. And there is no law. You know, again, Jesus freed us from the law. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you got to think about that. You know, when you are making these changes, is this a restless itch? Because if you fall into the grips of a restless itch, you can be short-tempered. You can be avoidant. Your attention span can be zip, right? But when you are in holy discontentment, the way you behave, and if you behave according to what the Spirit of God is putting in you, it'll cause people to look at you and say, hey, something's different. And that's when other people trust you. I laugh. I said, sometimes those things can be a blessing and a curse, especially in the work environment. Good God. People could trust me at work, and I praise God for that. But Lord knows, everything, anything, people would try to dump on me till finally I had a restless itch. And I was tired of being a garbage can. So I'm walking around with an attitude, not thinking, hey, I need to get myself grounded, focus, my initial focus being Jesus, what he did, and what he says in his word. So I had to step back and smack my own self, because I got to remember, I had to respect them. Love your neighbor, love your enemy, and control ourselves properly. And when you get there, it's almost like a divine nudge, you know, a divine nudge, meaning God wants to see how you're going to respond, not react, respond. A nudge is like that. A push is right. A divine nudge. That's all you need to go, yo, get yourself together. Excuse me. The audience of one principle, it reminds yourself that while we owe others love and respect, your primary accountability is to God. So the audience of one, who cares what Tina says, and who cares what your coworker says, and who cares what the women say at the beauty parlor or the nail shop? You got to remind yourself that you're in the audience of one and that your accountability is unto God, right? And I truly want to stand in ovation. I want God to say, my good and faithful servant, well done. Okay? So you got to remind yourself that while you owe others love and respect, your primary accountability is to God. The second way to navigate change is to model the change silently. Wow. So words often create resistance, while transformed behavior creates curiosity. Have you ever said something to somebody about how you want to change? And all of a sudden that green monster called envy and jealousy pops up. And especially, you know, when you're ready to talk about how, you know, instead of going to the club on whatever, I'm going to this prayer retreat this weekend. Just by saying that, you're putting that out in the atmosphere about the change you want to make. So guess what? The enemy hears it too. So what he's going to do is he's going to put up this resistant barrier to hinder the change. Okay. But then if you transform your behavior, say for instance, you went to this prayer retreat, right? You told the folk they were resistant. You went there and you had an encounter with God and you come back totally different. I mean, like, glowing. They can't even look at you because you've been in the presence of God. And because you were transformed and that transformed behavior happened, it creates curiosity to where they do a second look and go, what's that about? Talk about a perfect time for sharing the gospel, right? But you got to model the change silently. You got to live the results. For example, you know, if you want a peaceful home, embody peace first. Oh my God, this stuff is so easy. But why do we make it hard? If you want a more peaceful home, embody peace first. If you want a more disciplined lifestyle, start your own routine without demanding others to join you. Boy, when I think about that, and the many, 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 many diets I have been on, because I've always been pleasantly plump. I mean, that's just, it's just me, you know. And I'm going to tell you what. Every time I try to start a lifestyle, I try to start my own routine, you know, I would say, okay, you need to come along with me. But then if that person didn't feel like going to the gym, guess what Stephanie did? Stephanie stayed at home. So my lifestyle wasn't disciplined. Okay? And because of that, it caused me to go through all these different yo-yo diets, listening to other people and then having them to put their demands on me about what they expect from me to change instead of identifying what I need to do with him to change. Okay? So what is the internal shift, not the external? So you got to avoid the teacher trap. And I think we all have fallen prey to this trap. Even Pastor Tucker, yeah, I said it. Pastor Tuck, even, you know, some other individuals out there, you know, avoid that teacher trap. It is tempting to try to convince or enlighten others. Instead, let your life be the testimony. So we already know, you know, and I say this about Pastor Tuck, because Pastor Tuck, he is a no excuse pastor, really. He will tell people what direction they need to go to change. He's like, you want to change, but do you want to change? Big difference, right? So he tries to enlighten other people, and automatically they become offended because they think that Pastor Tuck is trying to tell them what to do, control them, you know, be a teacher where, or like a young child, you're seen, not heard. No. But because he lives his life as a testimony before others, because I live my life as a testimony before others, it helps people to understand, wow, you know, their light is powerful. And they're not really trying to become a teacher. No. They're just trying to help me develop myself. Okay. But, you know, teaching does help. I mean, if you got small children, I'm not saying don't, you know, convince or enlighten them. You got to have some discipline with your children. So teach a moment all the time. Now that my girls are over, they say, Mama, you're mommying again. Mama, stop being a helicopter mom. So I got to put my propellers down. But anyway, I digress. So let's look at Matthew 5, verse 16. And this is an easy translation. It says, you must be sure that your light shines well. Then you will give light to other people. Is that simple? They will see all the good things that you do. Then they will praise God, who is your Father in heaven. So they want to see, you know, let the people see your good works rather than just hearing your arguments. Have you ever gotten in an argument with someone about when you wanted to change something? And maybe somebody overheard it and their whole view of you shifted. Okay. So be mindful of how you communicate your desire for change. 3, find a parallel community. Y'all like parallel community? Yes. Parallel, straight across, side by side. Supporting you this way, right? When you leaning, they can lean you up, okay? So if your immediate circle, like your family, local friends, or a small group, if they aren't ready to move, you don't have to leave them. But you do need to find people who are already where you want to be. Why? You know, because if you're in an area, you have a family that don't want to progress forward. They're not ready to move. Now, I'm not saying, you know, forget y'all. I ain't got nothing else to say to y'all. All right? You can love them, but you can leave them in a sense of leaving that stagnant behavior behind, that stagnant thinking behind. Now, while you do that, as I said, wanting this type of holy discontentment and change cause you to feel isolated. So you need to find people who are already where you want to be. Are you going to go and talk to someone who cussed such and such out the night before and you overheard it? And then you said, I need to seek some advice. And you go to that person, they cuss you out just like they did the other person. What? You need to find people who are already where you want to be. Seek mentorship. Look for women who have successfully navigated the specific change you desire. Mentorship is important. And you want to have a mentor that has experience, not someone that just did something for a month. And then you're like, can you be my mentor? No. And this just came to me. I'm thinking about one of my former coworkers. You know, I call her my little sis. When she first started working with me at the VA, she had just gotten out of grad school. She was fresh to the social work, you know, profession. And I worked with her for 13 years, you know. So then she began to look at other things that she wanted to do in the practice of social work. And she called me to ask me my advice. I gave her my advice. I gave her different tools and papers and documents that I used. And one day I noticed she had posted on Facebook that I was a mentor to her, that I was a godly woman. So, hey, there's two things, godly woman and mentor. I was honored when I heard that. I wasn't like puffed up. I was humbled when I heard that, because everything that I did to develop my skills to cause me to mentor her later all came from God. Not by my will, His will. But I had to change. Join a digital or interest-based group. Join communities focused on your new direction, right? Like a health ministry. Okay, so new direction. I'm going a new direction with my diagnosis. My diagnosis doesn't make me, okay? I want to be able to be around other people that have the shared experience, but they aren't dwelling and being sick. I'm out of that sick mindset. I don't want to go back to that anymore. Even when I feel like crap some days, I'm not going back to I'm sick. I'm going to stay at I'm saved. And I'm safe in His arms. So you want to make sure that you get with people that are aligned with you. Sometimes you can join a specialized Bible study. Now, I have been a part of this wonderful Bible study, virtual, called Affirm, that is led by Pastor Kiara McDowell at Revival Now Global Church in Greensboro, who is my daughter's spiritual mom. And I'm so glad I started. I'd already seen some things that I had to step back and say, I got to change this. I even had to go back and apologize for different things that I didn't even realize I had done. But just the first meeting or second meeting of Affirm made me go, Lord, help me with that. So, you know, there are so many specialized Bible studies. And, you know, I don't want you to just randomly go online, click something and close your eyes and press on the screen. No, you know, get in a Bible study from a reputable, word-believing, Bible-teaching church that is going to prepare you and cultivate you for change. Okay? So get in some digital or interest-based groups. Now, you got to set boundaries with grace. Set boundaries with grace, not with grief or grievance. Look, not even growling. Get away from me. No. You gotta set boundaries with grace. You know, change, it often disrupts the comfort of those around you. Cause let's be real, everybody wants to go the least path of resistance. Everybody wants to feel comfortable right where they at. So when you change, it forces them to look at their own lives, which can cause a pushback. Come on, ladies, can you admit, oh my God, I've been a pushback? Because you're looking at somebody changing, they're actually doing well. And then you look at what you have to change, and it can cause you to become resistant and cause a pushback. And all they're doing is living the way God designed them to live according to His word. So change, it does disrupt comfort. So the non-negotiable time, I mean non-negotiable, protect the time you need for your new path. That's so important. Protect the time that you need for your new path, like study, prayer, or physical health, without being defensive. You know, if you decide, okay, I'm getting ready to read this devotional for women, I'm getting ready to dig in, and as soon as you get ready to dig in, somebody comes in the room and you get an attitude because they've interrupted you, or, you know, what you doing? Don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm trying to get myself together. What you mean you're trying to get yourself together? Like I said, I'm working on myself. I got to get myself together. That's being defensive, right? But there's a way to communicate the non-negotiable time with gentle firmness. And, you know, I love I statements. And it says, example, I feel called to focus on this right now for my growth. I love your support, but I understand if you aren't ready to join me yet. Yeah. Look here. I know you want to talk to me, and I know you got something to say, but right now I'm in the middle of this devotional, and this is so crucial to me right now. I need this right now for my own growth. And, you know, if you can give me 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'll be ready to be in there with you. But, you know, if you don't understand, kick rocks. No, I'm joking. Well, if you don't understand and don't want to participate or hear what I'm going through, it's okay. That's you. That's your choice. But my change is to work on me. Gentle firmness works every time. Practice relentless prayer for others. Relentless prayer. Man, when I think about relentless, I think about like some X-Men, for example. You know, the heroes and the villains. I was trying to think of the word. The heroes and the villains. You know, when they're relentless, that means don't nothing stop them. That they press in, that they keep fighting until the victory's won. No matter how long it takes. I'm going to say that again. No matter how long it takes, they don't give up. Neither shall you. So practice this relentless prayer for others. Why? Anytime we try to get somebody to go in our direction and we try to pull them our way, tugging them by their shirt collar or their sleeves or, you know, just snatching them back, you got to bring them to prayer. The reason you bring that to prayer is because if you sit there and you jerk somebody back to come along with you, guess what? They're going to jerk back at you. So the next thing you know, you're in a tug of war with yourself and what God wants you to do, but looking at the external factor of somebody else who doesn't value your ability and desire to change. So instead of trying to pull others along, bring them to God in prayer. Not, Lord God, get them, because them fools, they ain't gonna change. I ain't got time for Jesus. Do what you gotta do. That's the wrong way. You need to come in there and say, Lord, I love my husband. He means everything to me, and I thank you for giving me him. But Father God, he is not lined up with where I want to go. I'm obedient to him. Let him understand I need some things. Okay? So you were praying, relentless prayer. Then he does something else. Guess what? You keep praying. Don't stop. Because when you pray, you are shifting the focus off of what you're going through, off of what they're going through, and after what, you know, shifting the focus from what they are trying to place on you to hinder you. So you got to shift the focus. Turn your frustration with their stagnation into intercession. My. Stagnation. People in my life, some right now, I have become so frustrated because they say they want change, but they don't want to do anything to change. They just keep repeating the behaviors that they wanted to change. And I could tell them how I got to be where I am, not to brag, but to be able to share with them the goodness of God in my life, that it's not discriminate unto them. They can have it too. So I noticed I would sit there and immediately the person's name would pop up in my head. And the next thing you know, I'm sucking my teeth and I'm frustrated. Because I want to see more for them than they see for themselves. Now, I can't want more for them. I can't choose more for them. They have to do that. But I always want somebody to be better. What's wrong with that? Okay? So I had to turn my frustration with their stagnation into intercession. Intercession causes all the feelings and emotions to move aside. Intercession allows you to use the word of God or even pray the Lord's prayer like the Lord taught us how to say it. Intercession. If you're praying for someone and you begin to speak in your heavenly language is not something that you are to rationalize. That is direct communication between you and Holy Spirit. And there have been times I've been frustrated with somebody's stagnation. And as soon as I think about them, I start speaking in my heavenly language. And I'm going through the house. You know, just speaking my heavenly language. Because I don't know how to say it in a realistic, rational realm. I want to go to the supernatural. And the supernatural has done some supernatural things in people's lives that were stagnant. Okay? So shift your focus. Ask God to open their eyes to the possibilities he's showing me. Ask God to open their eyes to the possibilities he's showing you. All things are possible. If they're sitting there, you know, going, oh, I hate my job, or oh, I want to start a business, I want to do this, I want to do that, oh, I can't stand my marriage. God can open up their eyes to the possibilities he's showing you, because as he's showing you your potential, your possibilities, giving you the word of God to change, not only to change the way you speak, the way you think, but it'll change the way you live and change your behavior. That will take note and be an example for those that you're frustrated with because they see, oh my gosh, my eyes are open. What Pastor Stephanie been telling me ain't been no junk. What Steph's been telling me hasn't been stupid. No. It's been designed to be able to help encourage you to change. But if you remain stagnant, all I can do is pray for you and love you and keep it moving. Shake the dust off the feet. Finally, you know, release the outcome. Recognize that everyone has a different timeline for sanctification and growth. Man, different timelines. Sometimes the timer can stop. And is it for you to stop, to give up? Or is it to stop and say, why am I holding myself to this timeline? I just need to flow with the Spirit. Yes, there may be need for some organization. But if you press yourself on by, you know, 2026, I'm going to do this. By 2027, this is going to happen. But, you know, but then stress yourself out to the point that you become stagnant and avoid it because you don't want to have to deal with it. No, that's not right. So you got to release the outcome, whether good or bad, happy or sad. Here or now, later or early, you got to release the outcome because you have a different timeline. I have one. Anybody that's in your house has one. For sanctification and growth. Sanctification is a process, and you got to make up your mind that you want to be sanctified and fulfilled and filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the love of God, to be able to grow according to how God wants you to grow in due season. So the season may be 20 minutes from now or 20 years from now. But you got to learn and understand how to navigate. Amen. Hope you got something out of that. Because, again, spring of the year, weather changes. But not only do the seasonal things change, everything changes. You know, and there's a change theory I learned in social work 101. One change affects another part of a change. Some change is resistant to change. You know, but change is inevitable. So if you make up your mind, hey, I need to just navigate through this stuff. Anytime my sister calls me and she comes up with some foolishness when I'm trying to be in the presence of God, I want to change and not gossip. But all she does is call me and want to talk about what my other sister did. I got to laugh. As much as I miss my mama and her sisters, there are still some sisters that are living, about four, I think. But my goodness, they had a hotline. You know, I'm like, Mom, it's such and such. Mom, it's on such and such. And next thing you know, Mom on the phone, she's like, really? Well, Lord, and child. And I was like, they're gossiping. So you don't have to stick with that. You know, you got to recognize that you got to step back. You got to recognize there's some folk that you have to disconnect from. Does that mean that you don't love them? No. Does that mean that you'll always leave them? No. I had to disconnect from some cousins. As much as I loved them, I had to disconnect from them. Why? Because they weren't going the same direction I was going. Was I judgmental? I may have been at one point in my life. But now as I go through other stages and look back, I'm not judgmental at all. They have to go through their own process. So even though I decided to disconnect myself from them so that I continue on the godly change I wanted to achieve, did not mean that I was going to always leave them. So if this cousin were to call me back and was in a state of depression or actually says, you know, Stephanie, I want to know, how have you been successful in your marriage? Because my marriage is tore up. I ain't really want to tell you, but this is what's happening. So I'm not going to go, well, I disconnected from you, deuces. No. I want to be able to help them and recognize that they're different. Recognize that they're going through different processes and they're not going to be the same as mine. It's not going to be at the same time. But one thing it's not going to do is going to cause me to go back to old patterns. Amen. Stop being stagnant. Change. Wow. I hope you enjoyed it. And I thank God for y'all joining me. And I'm going to pray our way out. And then we're going to look at some announcements. Pastor God, we thank you. Pastor God, he's our pastor too. Oh, Lord. Lord God, I meant. Lord God, you know, we could be real with you. And Lord, we thank you for this word. And Lord, I pray that any woman that is navigating through a season of change, that may be having some strife or struggle, help them reevaluate what they need to do according to your word. Help them put some word on it, Lord. Help them seek godly mentorship. Help them join a group of some sort that is biblically based. Allow them to give themselves grace, Lord God. If their timeline doesn't turn out like they want it to, because in our reality, it may not be time yet. Teach these women, Lord God, patience, love, steadfastness, diligence, and faith. Lord, I thank you again for this time to be able to minister. I don't, you know, take it lightly. Excuse me. I love you, Lord, so much that I want to display the love that you put in me to others. And I thank you for this platform to be able to do so. Lord, bless all Women of Worth members, all Women of Worth watchers. It doesn't matter. If you are part of Women of Worth, then Lord, cover them, be with them, stay with them, and help them recognize when it's time to change. In Jesus' most precious name, we do pray. Amen. As the young folks say, I had to pivot, right? Well, with that being said, I'm Pastor Steph. God bless. So very glad that y'all join me today, and have a good week.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
The scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.